All right, so let's talk about unity. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what I want to talk about tonight. We're going to sing, before the night's end, we're going to sing, what's that song we're going to sing? Kumbaya. No, what's the all my sisters are together. We're going to sing We Are Family before we're done. Somebody say unity is important. Somebody say unity is really, really, really important. Somebody say this is a gossip-free zone. Somebody say we don't talk about people in this church. I mean, if we're going to talk about somebody, we're going to say something nice about them. Amen? Amen? You know, you don't like my orange shirt? Well, you know what? Silencio, por favor. Amen? No, really. Be thou very quiet. Amen? You know? You know, you don't like the angels? Hey. You know, I can't help it that the angels took two out of three from the Dodgers. That's not my fault. Don't be a hater. You know, and I make light of that, but you know what? How many know you can go to a place, you can go to church, and you got, you know what, and you have people. Listen, I'm just telling you, and I we're gonna get into the word. I'm gonna show you some things. But I said last Sunday we had a guest speaker, and he came on over to me during the preaching, you know, and I looked at his notes, but I didn't know he was going to say this. And he came over to me and he said, you know, he talked about how the sheep bite, and he expected me to sit there and come in agreement with him. And I thought, you know what? It depends. You know what? What flock you're of. Amen. And what I wouldn't do, listen to me, what I wouldn't do, and I wouldn't come in agreement with them about our sheep bite, amen? Because I'm very sensitive to that, because Armstrong taught us that where Satan comes in, many times, areas in your life that he's come in, that's where he's going to come back to. And you know what? And I remember when I first got here, there was way more gossiping than there should have been. Let me back that up again for theatrical sense. I want you to catch this. When I first got to this church, there were way more gossiping than there should have been. When I went to Life Bible College, they didn't have a course. Could you turn your phone off? Last Sunday, somebody called my phone. I had to tell them, could you turn your phones off? This is really important what I'm going to say. There was way more gossiping than there should have been. And I shut it down. And some of that gossiping was happening from the leaders of the church. And they didn't like when I shut it down. But I'm not running for an office. Amen. I was just, you know, it's like God told me, if you won't give them my message, then what are you doing? Because that is your position. You are, your calling, according to my word in Ephesians, is to, you know what, preach the word that you would edify and build up the congregation. Amen? And so I had to start somewhere. Where am I going to start? I'm going to start with the leaders. Amen? And they weren't really leaders, but they had been put in a position of leadership for so long that people just thought they were leaders, but they weren't leaders. But let me tell you about leaders. Leaders, you know what? Control their mouth. Leaders understand that Ephesians says, let nothing proceed out of your mouth but that which is edifying for the hearer. See, you could do whatever you want with your words. And one of the first sermons, one of the first series that I preach is a series called What Are You Building? And I talked about you're building something with your words. And I talked about the importance of building people up. Amen? So I'm going to, and listen, and I've been teaching this ever since. You know what? Ever since I got here, I've been, I will say it over. You're going to hear this over and over again. If you don't have something nice to say, shutteth thou upeth. Amen? Amen. And don't bring that junk in here. Amen? Because your words are powerful and your words affect other people. I like what I heard one of my mentors say, and you know what? And they said this, you know what? My mind is not a garbage receptacle. See, you have no right to dump your trash that you think something about Peter and you're going to say me. No. Don't dump it on me, Jackson. Amen. I said this before. It's a great illustration. You know what? You ever been around somebody who's drunk? I didn't ask if you ever got drunk. Amen. I asked if you ever been around somebody who got drunk. Some of you getting all uptight already. I didn't say that about you. Okay. But all I'm saying, you know what, is, you know what, when they start to, what do? It's not the time you give them a little hug and say, oh, you don't feel good. No, you start making sure you're, okay, you're out of there. Listen, don't let anybody throw up on you. Amen. And let me tell you what, you know, I don't mean to be gross. You know, throw up is gross. Listen, throw up is not even close to as gross as the throw up of talk about somebody else in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's get a little bit more amen-ish in this church. Amen. Can we get a little Pentecostal here today? Amen. Why? Because I want you to come in agreement with this. This isn't, what I'm saying is important. We need a lot of agreement to this. Amen. Because out in the world, they stir you up to do just the opposite. Amen. We got to come in here and say, no. That's not what we're doing here. Amen. That's, we will not tolerate. We will not tolerate. You can't talk about Peter. You can't talk about Richard. You can't talk about, you know what, anybody. Amen. I forgot all your names for 30 seconds, amen. You can't. Oh, see, pastor forgets people's names. Someone, shut it thou up if, amen. See, I got, no. What our calling is to protect people, not to expose people. Can you say amen? Amen. Is somebody, I'm just asking, does anybody have some faults? Raise your hand if you got a fault. If your hand's not up, you're lying, and that's a fault, amen. No, really, everybody's got faults. And our position isn't to expose those. Our position is to, you know what, cover those. Does that make sense? We're our brother's keeper. And I'm not saying in a course of time that it's not appropriate to, you know what, to speak to our brother about issues. Amen? But when we do that out of a relationship. Does that make sense? We do that because, you know what, we have invested. Listen, I can talk to Marilyn and I can say, hey, Marilyn, there's this issue in your life. Can I talk about it? And because I've invested in her for so many years, because she's invested in me and my family for so many years, she knows that comes out of a heart of love. And you know what? And listen, when I do it, it won't be this condescending, I'm up here, I'm the senior pastor and I'm up here, and you're just a lowly sheep down there. And it won't be a condescending. It will be a gracious, hey, I've got something, but I want to talk to you about it. Amen? And it'll be over a Starbucks or, you know what, or something. You know what, we'll be eating a meal or, you know, something you know, where it's not this condescension. Does that make sense? And it won't ever be, you know, there's no place for me to talk about Marilyn to Connie. There's no place for that. Somebody say, there's no crying in baseball. Amen. There's no crying in baseball, and there's no gossip in the body of Christ. There shouldn't be. We're not, no. If y'all got something to say to Connie about Marilyn, it's going to be, wow, man, did you see Marilyn's haircut? It is sharp looking. I meant to tell you that earlier. It looks great. Amen. Do you understand? You know what? It's going to be, you know what? I appreciate, you know what? All the work that, you know what, that Marilyn does for the church. She's so gracious. We wouldn't be where we are without her. We wouldn't be where we are without her. See, that's the kind of, and watch this. And if you know what, I'm doing to Marilyn and Connie's doing that to Richard and Richard's doing that to Peter and all this, what are we doing? We're all of a sudden, man, what are we doing? We're looking at ourselves and thinking, man, whoa, wow, that's nice. How many like to be told that, you know what, have you lost some weight lately? How many like to be told that? Man, you're like, well, yeah, matter of fact, I have, right? How many like compliments? We all love compliments. You know what? And what compliments do, when you start noticing, you know what it does? It pulls the good out of you. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you learning something? Amen. Amen. And so we cannot afford. So we're talking about unity, and I started talking about it last week, but I have some we just started to talk about it, and I want to continue to talk about it. If you have your Bibles, thank you, Peter. Put it over your head. Say it like you mean it. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I can... Wow, that was impressive. All right. So last week we were looking at some passages, and guys in the back, let's do a little review. Let's turn to John chapter 17, starting with verse 20. John chapter 17, starting with verse 20. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they might be one as you, Father, and are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. There's something that is so powerful evangelistically. Listen to me. There's something so powerful evangelistically to be a witness to these people if they see that we're one and we're one with God and we're all one together. It speaks, they'll know us by our love, the Bible says. And so when I first came to this church and there was all kinds of just a used to, you know, this group will talk about that group, and that talk about group will talk about this group, and that talk about this group. Let me tell you the truth. The truth that the main person, does somebody want to know the truth? The main person I found in the churches that you'll talk about, or that the sheep will talk about, is the pastor, his wife, and his kids. Oh, you can say amen to this. And you know what? And it ain't going to happen. Amen. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Amen. Amen. Amen? I'm not Jesus. My wife's not Jesus. Shayla ain't Jesus. Tyler ain't Jesus. And Megan ain't Jesus. Amen. So let's just make that clear. We ain't Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, and that was my next comment. And neither are you. Amen. Oh. So, amen? But when you start to develop a church where people are in love with each other, where people see their insufficiencies, where people see the stuff going on, but and they know, you know what, but they recognize. See, just answer me this. One of the main issues, and it's a wonderful thing, how many of you how many of you, since you've been coming to this church, maybe, you don't have to commit to this, but maybe you first come in this church and you were smoking weed, or maybe you first came to this church and, you know what, you got drunk every once in a while, or maybe all the time, maybe you were living with, you know, shacking up, or whatever you were doing, or maybe you were just a big gossiper, or whatever, or maybe you know what, you just got on the freeway and went 120, or whatever your issues were, I don't know. But how many of you have seen some change that you got looking, that you're looking more like Jesus than when you first walked in 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 months ago? How many of you raise your hand and say, I might not be there yet, but I look more like Jesus than when I first came in? How many of you raise your hand and say, absolutely. Well, how many know that's a good thing? But how many know sometimes that good thing that is reality can start to bite you? Because all of a sudden you get little too gray pouponish for your own good. You know, and somebody comes in and they, you know what, it's like, whoa, dude, you know what, how come I smell, you know, it's like, man, you've been smoking the reefer, haven't you? And okay, whatever. Let me be an example to you. If somebody, I mean, just reeked. I mean, they were just fully. I was just like, oh my goodness. You know what? Listen. Well, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give them a hug, and I'm gonna act. You know what? I'm not gonna say one thing about how they smell. Well, why wouldn't you do that? Because they came in. Oh, no, let's do this. Let's do that. I think this would be much better. Let's do this. Let's put a big sign in front. You know, Hope Community Church. You know what? Please come in. If you haven't, and then let's just put a whole list of stuff. You know what? If you don't ever get drunk, if you don't ever get high, you know what, if you never ate too many Twinkies, make sure you add that. Make sure you add that in your list. You know what I mean? Yeah, the Twinkies just got everybody off the list, right? Right, 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 right? Here's what I'm saying. Yeah, how many know we ain't putting that sign up? We're not putting that sign up. Why? Because, you know what? Because Jesus Christ didn't come for the well. He came for the sick. And so, watch this. When you're looking more and more like Jesus, you know what they call that? The theological term? It's called sanctification. Let's not allow our sanctification to cause us to have a critical spirit. Amen. You know what? Look at your neighbor and say, I don't think you're the Holy Spirit. Could you tell your neighbor that? Could you tell it? Come on, give him line. I don't think you're the Holy Spirit. I don't think you are. Amen? Amen? How many know what causes someone to come to Christ? Here's what the Bible says. It's the love of God that leads people to Christ. Amen. See, I can't tell you how many. I've married a lot of people who came in this church. And they came in this church and they were living together and they weren't married. And at some point in time, I would recognize that. But see, I knew, just be quiet and allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, if in a course of time, if I've developed a relationship with them and they're still doing that and still doing that and still doing that and still doing that and still doing that, I might take them to Starbucks, particularly the man, and say, "Hey, dude, what's up, man?" I mean, she's been your fiance for, you know what, 18 years? What's up? You know, what's up? Right? 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 But watch that. But watch this. That is only, listen, that is only out of a heart of love for that person. Understand this. Anything that God tells you to do in the Word of God, His commandments are not burdensome. Amen. So I'm saying it out of love. I'm not saying it out of a condemnation. I'm not saying it out of a self-righteousness. Does that make sense? Okay. And what I'm saying is, when we start acting like that, then there's this thing that happens. You know what? That causes people to like church. And you're not talking about me, and I'm not talking about you, and you recognize me and my family are not perfect, but you also recognize, let me tell you about my family. My family is not perfect, but I'll tell you something about my family. My family and I are in love with Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you something else about that I'm not going, Tamara and I aren't going to tell you to do something that we're not implementing in our lives. Amen. You come over to my house. You know what? I don't beat my wife. Amen. I refrain myself from beating the dogs. Amen. See? Bible says that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Amen. What I'm saying is, the truth is, you're not going to see a big difference. You know, you come over to my house. You can sneak over. You know what I mean? You can look over the fence. And you're only going to see anything that you won't see if you come on, you know what, a Sunday or a Saturday or a Wednesday or any time. Amen. And that's our commitment to you. Because I do believe that leadership should be sincere, and I believe that leadership should not be hypocritical. Amen. Does that make sense? All right. Are you learning something? How many glad you came today? How many encouraged? Amen. I probably haven't told you anything you don't know already, but how many know sometimes you just have to be reminded of the truth? The repetition is a motor of learning. Okay, so why is this, or is there an example of the Bible how effective unity is? And let me say something about unity. You've got to decide to be united. Amen? I say you have to decide to be united. You know what? See, if we said, okay, if I said, you know what? Well, what song should we play tonight? You know, what song should we play tonight? What song should we play tonight? What song should we play tonight? What song? We'd get, how many know we'd get all kinds of answers? Well, what songs are we going to worship? Well, we're going to ask, you know what? Richard and Angel, they're competent. They can figure out what songs we're going to play tonight. We're going to play those songs. Amen. And then watch this. United together, we're going to decide, ooh, I'm going to like those songs. Yeah, but what if you don't like those songs? Or I told you, you know what? Are you kidding me? How can't you like songs that we're talking about Jesus? Yeah, amen. I already told you about the twang, twang, twangy. You mean, I don't care. You know, I don't, you know, somebody's like, what's a twang, twang, twangy? You know what? I went to this, you know, a concert. I didn't know who was going to be playing. And some Christian guy got up with his, you know what? He came out with this, some honky-tonky boots, you know what? And his guitar. He's like, I'm just going to sing some songs tonight. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know what? But after, you know, it didn't take 3 minutes that I didn't just say, man, this guy's awesome. I love this guy. Why? Because he's talking about Jesus. And I know there's certain songs that we'll play. You're like, oh, I love that song. I know that. I understand that. But what I'm saying is we have got to make a preconceived notion that we're going to be together. Amen? Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. See, and that's what's going to make this church effective. Look in Acts chapter 2, verse starting with 40. starting with verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Somebody say, through the apostles. Listen, God wants to do supernatural works through you, and don't anybody say, yeah, but I can't, blah, 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 blah. No. The Bible said that the prophet was a man just like you. And you know what? And he prayed for rain, and rain happened, and he prayed the rain would stop, and it stopped. And then he prayed again that it would rain, and it rained again. And the author is trying to tell you, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, God wants to use you. Amen? He's always used men and women. I'm talking about mankind. And he always wants to use, but you've got to recognize God wants to use you. Now all who believed were together. Somebody say they're together. And had all things in common. Next verse. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. Next verse. So continually daily with one accord. Amen. Somebody say with one accord. In the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And God added to the church daily those who were being saved. Here's what I want you to catch. When these people are together, they're making decisions to be together. They're going to decide that they're going to be in one accord. Listen, you don't decide to be in one accord because everybody's going to come up with the same answer. You decide that we are going to like whatever Angel and Richard pick today. Do you understand the difference? Here's what you do. You already decide that unity is more important than anything. Because lost people are really important. Amen. So when that is happening, when that's happening, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. That is the most effective way we can preach the gospel and be in unity. You'll see a church that'll grow. Amen. Areas that we can tighten up. Areas that we can tighten up. Here, let's have a application. Does somebody like what I'm preaching? Okay, so everybody stand up to your feet. Okay, and we're going to tighten up, okay? So you guys don't have to come. You guys that are right here, you stay right here. You stay right here. But everybody here, I want you to tighten up. I want you to get right next to that person, okay? Now, everybody, you guys stay right here. Everybody here, you come this way. Everybody here, you come this way. Ready? Go. Okay, so you know you got to go right. Yeah, right. There we go. Okay. And then same thing over here. Everybody come to this side. Everybody come to this side. No. You don't have to tighten that far up. You guys can stay right there. Yeah, you can. Okay. Okay, now you can sit back down. No. Oh, that is a great illustration. That is a great illustration. No, don't move back. You stay right now. You're going to sit next to him. Oh, that is exactly what I'm talking about. No. We're tightening up. Say we got to tighten it up. All right. How y'all feel right now? Do you feel good? Okay. In about 3 minutes, you're going to feel good because the anointing is going to start to fall and you're going to start to recognize it's better being closer together. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Okay? I mean, I'm telling you what, Pastor made me so mad, I was so comfortable, and then he made me scoot on over. Wait, do I need to rerun this set? Do I need to rerun the whole five? No. Okay. Okay, so what areas where we got to tighten up? Number one, worship. What I mean by worship, I don't mean by the songs we're singing. We're already talking about that. Listen to me very carefully. We have got to tighten up. We have got to make a decision. Who does this apply to? It applies to every single person that is in the house today. And what do I mean by worship? Here's what I mean. I mean that we have got to recognize how important it is that we come together on Sunday and Wednesday and worship together. Amen. Amen. So every Sunday and every Wednesday, I know this young man is going to be right here. Amen? Why? Because he sees a great value in worshiping together. I told you about that time I was in my car. I'm coming over Rosemead Boulevard. You know how you go kind of over the riverbed, over that big? And I'm coming down into Pico Rivera. And right by kind of where Connie lives, you can turn left or you can go straight. And I was going straight, but the light was red. And I was singing. And thank God I wasn't singing Led Zeppelin. I wasn't singing Led Zeppelin. You know what I mean? I was singing some worship song. Amen? You know what? And I was just enjoying worship. Can I tell you what? You ought to get used to just worshiping God. And I was worshiping God in my car, and for whatever reason, I was just enjoying it. You know what I mean? And I looked over, and there was a lady who comes to church here. And I was like, and then you're like, I'm having a moment. And then I looked over, and I thought, well, and the windows were all up, you know what I mean? I thought, oh, praise God, I was worshiping, you know what I mean? And let me tell you, worshiping alone is a good thing, amen? Okay, I remember years earlier before that, when I had my Karma Gia, I was in Costa Mesa. You know what? And Striper was big, big time. You know what I mean? And I had a good sound system in that Karma Gia. I had it cranked. Windows were down. I was cruising. You know what I mean? And I was, you know, probably singing "To Hell with the Devil" or whatever it was. You know what I mean? True story. I don't know if I was singing that song, but it was probably one, whatever, a Striper song. You know what I mean? And I looked over, and it was my pastor. You know what I mean? Striper. Okay. Anyway, here's my point. My point is, it's great to worship by yourself, and you should worship by yourself. But let me tell you what, it is so good to worship together. See, there's something that happens. It's so important that you read your Bible every day, that you read your Bible, that you learn to feed yourself. But let me tell you what, that doesn't take away from the anointing that happens through the preaching of the Word of God. I would say this, for many of you, I would even say for most of you, the biggest revelations that you ever have received were quite possibly sitting right here in this cell sanctuary. How many would raise your hand and say that? That's absolutely true. Raise your hand if you say, see, you know what I mean? Or some of you in the North Sanctuary. But it was through the preaching of the Word of God, and not just a generic preaching of the Word of God, but the preaching of the Word of God from the man of God or the woman of God that God has placed in your life as an under shepherd to guide you. And we live in such a individualistic mentality that it's like, oh yeah, you know what, and you don't understand the importance you know what, this week I'm going to, Sunday, I'm going to talk about how easy it is to drift from God. And that sermon is going to be strategically positioned on what I preached this last Sunday. And some of you have huge deficits in your life because you are too casual in the importance of being together in worship and listening to the anointing of the preaching of God. It's this casual, well, you know what? I'll make it if I do, and I don't if I won't. How many know we're not that way with our physical food, are we? You know, how many of you, it's like 11:20, you're like, whoa, I missed breakfast. Can I tell you what? We ought to have the same incredible importance on the Word of God that is given to us every Sunday and every Wednesday. And not just the Word of God, but just being and hanging out together. I can't tell you how many Wednesdays, I come and I just come in here and I'm pretty up person, you know what I mean? I'm pretty, you know, I encourage myself all the time, and so I'm pretty, but I can't tell you how many times I've come and just sat right here and just been ministered to because I'm part of corporate worship. Do you understand how important it is? And I'm here to say it's important. I'm here to remind you, it's important. You know, the world won't tell you that. The world will tell you, oh, yeah, but you know what? You got to wash your car, and, you know, you got to go to the, you know what, the boat show, and you got to go to the swap meet, and you got to, you know what, all this stuff. You got to go camping. You don't got to go camping. You got to value the Word of God and coming and being together and hanging out and saying, you know what, this is where I'm going to be. Listen, you want a good life? Make a decision that you are going to prioritize and say worshiping together corporately is absolutely critical that I do, and I make it a habit. This is what I do. Amen. Are you learning something? Amen. You know, the Bible says where it says to not forsake the gathering of the brethren. The Bible says, as is the habit of some. You know, some people who just make a decision they're never going to miss church? See, that's the habit of some. And here's what the Bible says. How many believe that we're getting closer to the second coming of Christ? Okay. If you're not raising your hand, I didn't say when it is. I said, how many believe that we're getting closer? Okay. How many know you can answer nothing except yes to that? Unless you don't believe in the coming of God, because every day, how many know we're getting closer? Okay. But I believe that it is very, 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 very close. And here's what I also believe. I also believe that that as I see it, as the day approaches, it seems like there is just an onslaught from the demonic force like we've never experienced before. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's so obvious? Okay, now watch this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you should not forsake the gathering of brethren, but especially as that day approaches. What I'm showing in, and how many know sometimes the Sunday sermon and the Wednesday sermon have places where they intersect sometimes? Here's a place that they're intersecting. Because what we talked about Sunday, as you start to drift away from God. I texted somebody just this week, and I shared with them the importance of getting, and I'll share this with all of you, of getting your kids here to church. Because, not that there wasn't evil that we could have experienced when we were growing up, but how many recognize that's increased radically? Our kids are being raised in a darker, in a more evil, they have opportunities like we did not have. Not that we didn't have opportunities for evil, but their opportunities are more and they're greater. How many would recognize that's true? Well, guess what? That's the same for you. And there's people that they serve God and they're falling away and they're falling away and they're falling away. And all you have to do, one, you know what? You will increase your spirituality and your spiritual health. How many know you can increase your dental health by just going to the dentist every 6 months? Well, you will increase your spiritual health by going to church every Sunday. Special. And see, can I tell you the excuse? Here's the excuse. The excuse is, and it's used all the time, so I'm just throwing it out. You might even think it. You know what? Here's the excuse. But Pastor, you're being legalistic. I'm not being legalistic. I'm telling you. I'm going to say something on Sunday that's going to help your marriage. And you need to be here and your wife needs to be here. I'm going to say something Sunday that's going to encourage you. And you need to hear it and your wife needs to hear it. You know what? Who is the, you know, what's his, does anybody know his title? R. What's R's? What's his? Barnacle Bob. Barnacle Bob is going to say something that your kids need to hear. You know. Let me tell you about this church. We do everything. What? How? Who came up with Barnacle Bob? We came up with Barnacle Bob. Who came up with Dr. Snugglesniff? We came up with Dr. Snugglesniff. Who come up with Chef Buns? If you don't know Chef Bun, she got a big backside. Why do you do that? That's so silly. Let me tell you why we do that. Because we want to do everything we can to make it where your kids are going, man, I like church. Can you say amen? I'm doing everything I can. But let me tell you what, I can't get your kids to come to church. You need to get your kids to come to church. If you went over to Sozo, man, I tell you what, they're rocking it. You know what? I mean, it's awesome. Worship is awesome, and it's loud, and they're grooving, but all about Jesus, you know what I mean? But it is cool. They got lights over there. It's awesome over there. Amen? Why? Because I want, you know what, your 13-year-old to go over there and go, man, you know what? And they're 13. You know, they try to act, you know, how's church? Oh, yeah. It's cool. You know, but let me tell you what. If you went, but there's a lot of effort inside there thinking, man, you know what, when they first walk in, they're thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. How many know that's a big thing for a 13-year-old to kind of think, oh, this is kind of cool. Why do we do all that? Here's why. Because this stuff's important, guys. And it's important for your kids, and it's important for you. Mm-hmm. And we got to tighten this up. It's kind of casual. Oh, you know what? I come to church when everything, you know what? When everything lines up. No. We have to be united together. Amen? You know how we can minister to people? By saying church is important, by you showing up. When you show up and your car shows up and you get out of your car with all your kids, you think they aren't seeing it? Amen? They come in this place and it's packed. You know what? You know what you're thinking? You're thinking the same thing. You ever go by a restaurant and it's all full? You know what I mean? thinking, man, I don't go there, man. I'm going to go there. No, it's not Mother's Day, but it's full. You're thinking, man, I'm going to eat there. Amen. See, you coming is adding. You are important. And you're important. You coming adds one more, one more, one more. And then somebody comes in. They're like, wow, this church has got it going on. Amen. And you hear something that you need to hear. When I was a freshman in Life Bible College, my freshman year was my hardest year. And then my sophomore year was my second hardest year, and my junior year was my third hardest year, and my senior year was my easiest year. You know why? Because when I was a freshman, and I was born I was born and raised in the church. I didn't know that, you know, when I was a freshman, there was a lot of stuff I didn't know. And then there was sophomore, and there was some overlap. And then junior year, there was more overlap. See, I learned some stuff in one class that I had learned in another class, but by my senior year, there was a lot of overlap. Amen? How many recognize you're going to get some overlap at this church? And you're going to start to hear stuff, and it's going to build on that, and it's going to build on this, and it's going to build on that. Well, yeah, man, you know what? But my wife stayed in bed today. Oh, she stayed in bed today. Amen. Will you just be an example to her? Amen. Do you have a key to the car? You know what? You know, you go to 7-Eleven without her, right? You know what? You just go to church without her. Amen. You know, give her a big kiss. Say, honey, you know what? You unrighteous thing, you. No, don't say that. I didn't say that. I'm joking. That's a joke. Don't say that. But what I'm saying is, see, you be an example to your family. You be an example to your husband. Yeah, but he always wants you the football game. Well, just lead. Be a leader. You know what the main thing you ought to come to church? Because you love Jesus. How many know what's going to happen Sunday? How many know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. This is a shocker. We're going to worship God, and then we're going to preach the word. That's all we're going to do. And I'm going to come. You know why? Because I love to worship with you. And I love to hear the word of God. How many know when I preach the word, I hear the word? Amen. Pastor, I really liked your sermon tonight. Amen. Why did I say that? Because I heard that. And I need to remind myself of these things too. Amen. Look at your neighbors. Tell them something nice before I dismiss you. Amen. Father, we thank you that we are a united church. We value, we value, we value. Be united. Father, we thank you that no corrupt word will proceed out of our mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. Father, thank you. Help us. And Father, I pray that we would all come back Sunday. And Father, I pray that we would minister to our friends and bring somebody with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.